Everybody's doing good this morning? Doing the best that you can? All right. We keep our eyes focused on Jesus in all things. I've been on a quest lately. Just seeking the Lord to grow closer to Him. To know Him more. And I want to get rid of all the junk that distracts me from focusing on Jesus. And in the last month, I would say, but really, very strongly the last 3 weeks, 2 weeks, maybe it's been a month already, but the Lord has really brought me back to the gospel of the kingdom. And I'm going to tell you something, it's revolutionized my Christian walk. Revolutionized my walk to the point that I'm ready to get baptized again after almost 40 years of being saved, get baptized again and renounce all the stuff of darkness and all the kingdoms of darkness and all the systems of darkness and commit myself fully 100% to the Lord Jesus. And I hope this message, some of you will be ready to receive it this morning. Some of you won't. I pray that you're ready to receive the word about the gospel of the kingdom this morning. Because it wrecked me. It dropped a bomb on me. In a good way, Brother Brandon. He said that the other day. He said the Holy Spirit dropped a bomb on him. I thought I had to go get some bail money or something. He go, no, in a good way. It wrecked me. Well, that's what Jesus is here to do, is wreck our systems and processes and man-made stuff. And he wants to say, focus on me and I'll turn your life upside down in a good way. I'll right side up your life. This message of the gospel of the kingdom is everything that when I preach end times, and if you've ever been through my end times message, I talk about the gospel of the kingdom. Because it talks about it in Matthew 24. Because persecution is coming. And it's going to increase. And he says then, after the persecution almost hits to the highest point, then the gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout all the earth. So it's even part of an end times message, but it's also part of a right now message. And I think we've got to get back to the gospel of the kingdom and understand it in its fullness. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 45 through 46, it says again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away and sold what? Everything he had and bought it. That's how much, when you get the message of the kingdom and the gospel of the kingdom and the good news of the kingdom, it's gonna say, I forsake it all because I found something of so much value. And for most of us, we can go through our life missing it. It's almost like that movie, The Matrix. Anybody see the movie, The Matrix? Some of you might have seen it. And when he had to take either the red pill or the blue pill, and he thought his life was normal, he was going to work, everybody was going along doing their thing, and then one day he got out of The Matrix and he said, it might be different, it might be uncomfortable, but I'm never going back. And to me, it's like my eyes were opened. How much we have missed the kingdom. We're going to talk about this morning. So what is the gospel? Let's start about that. What is the gospel? Let's just shout it out. What is the gospel? Good news about Jesus Christ. But there's also, they use this term, the gospel, back in the day when the disciples and Jesus walked the earth. It was almost a call to a revolt that we got good news, and it almost was in a political sense that there's going to be an overthrowing. It wasn't just thrown around. It was a proclamation of some amazing news that's going to rock your world. And a lot of people's political ears started to go up. What is the gospel? And it's exactly that. It is the good news. But what is the good news? Salvation. What else? Eternal life. But what else? The what? We're made alive. What else? We have eternal life. What else? The coming kingdom. What else? Forgiveness, peace. It's all of that. And more. And more. And today what I hope to do is to open your spiritual eyes and ears to the more. That has caused me to say, I'm going to get rebaptized. Because I've missed it for the majority of my life. Well, we know gospel equals good news. Keep that in your little marker. Now we have kingdom. What is kingdom? Kingdom is equivalent to government. So if you put them together, I've got good news that I'm proclaiming about a new government. Listen, they could get all excited as all they want, and I'm not saying it's good or bad, but they could pump up a political figure as much as they want and talk about how they are going to save our country and save us, and it becomes very political, but it's nothing compared to the good news of Jesus' kingdom. Nothing. Years ago, we talked about draining the swamp, but you know what? You drain the swamp, I realize that you never really get to the bottom and the swamp creatures keep multiplying. There's still a little couple down there having little swamp creature babies and they refill the swamp. You're never going to clean the swamp of all the creatures. So we're going to talk about the good news of the kingdom. It's different and it might be radical. It's caused me to speak in words like, revolution, right, Brother Andre? Revolutionizing. Turning my life upside down. You know that's what it did. When the apostles went and preached the gospel of the kingdom, it shook the local politics and it shook the local governments. It even got to a point where a king named Herod, when he heard about the coming king, he said, I'm going to eliminate all the babies. Because I don't want my kingdom to be shaken. It shakes things. It causes the kingdom of darkness to pay attention. They start to go, what's going on, this gospel of the kingdom stuff? Is the kingdom, now think about this, just about salvation? The good news. Now, I heard the majority of my life the good news of salvation. Is it just about that Jesus came, died, rose again, and we could live forever with and have eternal life? And for many of us, that's all we know about the gospel of the kingdom. Well, that's it. What else is there? There is something more. Is the gospel of the kingdom just preaching heaven? Well, you know, if you've been through one of my... How many of you have been through some portion of my end times Bible study? All right. So you know that I talk about that this fairy tale that we repeat that has become Christianese, and we just say, accept Jesus, die, and go to heaven forever, and they all live happily ever after, amen. That's not the end of the book. That's not the full story. The enemy likes that story. First of all, because it eliminates his destruction. But it also minimizes the kingdom of Jesus. Some people get very socially active.
Oh, I want to do works and I want to go help the poor and I want to go give money and I want to go do things and volunteer in the community and give out food. None of these are bad. But for some people, it's about doing kingdom work and going out there, and it's all about volunteering. But I can tell you that there's a world of atheists and there's a world of non-believers who are trying to do the same thing as well. And some of us, maybe from the Pentecostal, spirit-filled, charismatic background, the kingdom of God is a... I'm wearing a shirt right now. Right? Raise the dead. Speak in tongues. Demonstrate the power. That's what the gospel of the kingdom is. It's yes and it's salvation and eternity and doing good works and signs of wonders, but those are all side effects once you really understand the kingdom. Kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. We hear it. It's become the Christian cliche. Kingdom youth group, kingdom men's group, kingdom women's group, kingdom food pantry, kingdom church, put kingdom entrepreneur group, kingdom knitting group, kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. Kingdom, there's a lot of kingdom. But we got to understand it, and it will. Are you open today to say, Lord, reveal your kingdom to me? I am ready to turn my world upside down. I am ready to shake this world. I want to know when I'm preaching the gospel of the kingdom that the enemy and the kingdom of darkness is paying attention. What does a kingdom need? Let's go back to basics. What does a kingdom need? It needs a king. Now, I can say, I'm starting my own kingdom. Ron's kingdom. It's not really a good kingdom. I can say, my car from now on, I'm the king of my car. What else do I need in a kingdom to be an effective kingdom? That could be my domain. It could be my car. When you come in my car, you got to take your shoes off. You got to put $5 in my little thing I have. We have to listen to this music. But you also need what else? People. Not a very good kingdom if me and Brandon say, hey, we're going to start a kingdom, Wackadoodle Town. That's what we're going to call it. Got to have some people. You can't have a kingdom without people. Well, the kingdom of God has a king, a king's domain, a king's order of ruling, and his rules in the kingdom, and there's king's people. Just to let you know, I'm part of the king's people. Are you part of the king's people? You play an important role in the kingdom. A very important role. But we got to keep this in mind. Good news equals what? Gospel equals what? Come on, repeat it. Gospel equals good. Kingdom equals what? Government. Keep this in mind. You need a king. You need, read it with me, a king's order of, and a king's, okay. We need to know this. You're going to hear in the Bible the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of heaven, the everlasting gospel, the gospel of the kingdom of light. They all mean the same thing. And I got to tell you, for many years, I saw the gospel of salvation as separate from the gospel of the kingdom. Well, you have the message, good news of salvation. They are not separated. When John the Baptist started preaching the kingdom, Jesus talked about the kingdom, Paul talked about the kingdom, Jesus told us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. There was a different, it wasn't just, listen, let me just tell you this. The kingdom they were preaching made Rome shake. It made Herod get nervous. It made Pontius Pilate take notice and say, okay, there's going to be this king of the Jews. I better pay attention. It's not intellectual knowledge. When you get it, because just preaching salvation wouldn't turn their world upside down. That you can die and go to heaven for all eternity. Jesus died on the cross. That's not what shook them. That's not what got the attention. That's not what caused all the persecution. What shook them is they started talking about there's a different Lord. And we're going to talk about that. Jesus as Lord. Man, we have talked about Jesus as Savior. But a lot of times we miss Jesus as Lord. And it's not just Christian cliche. Jesus is, well, what does that mean? Well, we're going to explore that. Keep in mind, there is the kingdom. I asked this question to my friend who actually passed away last year, a Reverend Chris Capaldo. I don't know if anybody knew him. But when I was in a youth, and I was maybe 16 years old, I said, Chris, what is the kingdom? He said, that's a good question. I don't think anybody's defined it. And I'm not telling you that I can define it. And I'm not going to tell you you're going to walk away going, oh, I get it. But when you get it, you get it, but you might not fully understand it, but you're going to get it. What is the gospel of the kingdom? It's revolutionary to say, right now we've got people, whether they're going Biden, 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 or they got Trump, Trump, Trump. And I'm not saying it's bad to be a Republican or Democrat, but in other countries, they're shouting for their leaders. But as Christians who are kingdom-minded, we start shouting Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Now, we've been taught since very little kids, we pledge allegiance to the flag. And to the United States of America, to the Republic. And we pledge our allegiance to it. A couple of years ago, I said, you know what? Jesus trumps the flag. Now, I love this country. I'm patriotic. I love to see the red, white, and blue and what we stand for, the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution. But in one moment, I will deny America if it ever came to coming against Jesus. I will cancel that allegiance in one second. As a matter of fact, I said, let me put this to the test. And in my house, I have a flagpole. It has never had a flag on it. And I said, I'm going to put the Christian flag up, and I'm going to put the American flag below it. Ooh, you rebel. I said, I'm making a stand in my neighborhood. And you know what happened? Someone didn't like it, and they came and cut my flagpole. Let the whole thing fall and just took it away. That's how upsetting it was for me to proclaim a Christian flag. Now, some of you are even going, yeah, that's got to be sacrilegious or something. That's got to be wrong. I'm telling you, we're going to learn, and when the Holy Spirit puts it in you and you get it, that Jesus trumps it all, not Trump trumps it all, not Biden or whoever they're going to put as the president, whatever it is. We get so caught up in these systems that we lose sight of our Lord. We are called and we are put into as a chosen generation. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a new creation that is proclaiming a new gospel of a new government and a new king, which trumps everything. Is that okay if I preach real today? Because I want you to understand that while we're preaching the kingdom of God, and while we're talking about the good news of the kingdom, and while we're talking about Jesus as Lord, there has been established a kingdom of darkness that rules this earth. The kingdom of darkness has been in place since Cain left the presence of God. And he said, I'm going to go out and build a city opposite of what the Garden of Eden provided. And I'm going to build a city so I can have my own provision, so I can have my own satisfaction, and I don't have to depend on God. And then it moved into the Tower of Babel. You texted me about a month ago, Sky, about what is this? And it's like, is there really like dark forces behind the scenes? Like, is there really an Illuminati? Like, are people signing contracts that is allowing them to be successful? There is, listen, it's, people talk about shadow governments and dark governments and stuff that we're seeing even in the last month. I bet you some of you are going, something's going on. Someone's pulling the strings. And then people will say it's the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and the Bill Gates and all these billionaires. Listen, it goes higher than that. It goes to a kingdom that you don't even realize is operating as the ruler of this world. The princes and principalities that have been set up in high places that we don't realize is controlling everything. There is a kingdom of darkness, and it goes opposite of the kingdom of God. Their systems, their processes, their mentality, and we've been we're so into systems of darkness that we don't even realize it sometimes. The kingdom of darkness has set up sacrilegious sacred cows even in the church that is rocking that the people just go when you go opposite, it just, what's going on? You're shaking things up. We don't do it that way. Well, there is a kingdom of darkness. Colossians 1:13 says, He has delivered us from the domain or the kingdom, or the government of darkness, and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. You once were part of, unknowingly, behaving and just scooped up into a system of darkness, didn't realize it. The kingdom of darkness has a king. It has a domain, and it has people. Ephesians 2:2. You could say that as me, so let's all say me. I used to live in sin just like the rest of the world. We're not any better. There's no righteousness that comes from us. There's nothing that we did. We all, as human beings, lived in sin just like the rest of the world. Obeying who? The devil. Satan is the Lord of the earth. Satan is the Lord of the world. And we all used to be under his command, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. We don't like to admit it. We talk about it in a lot of progressive Christianity, and you might have heard we're all children of God. No, that's not biblical. Ron, what do you mean? No, listen, Jesus said, your father is the devil. He's a liar and a murderer. He's been that since the beginning. You're doing the will of your father. Until you leave the kingdom of darkness, You are still being lorded over by the king of darkness. I know this is a deep message, but it's time for revolution in our country. It's time for revolution in the church. It's time for revolution in the body of Christ. We are going through unknowingly remaining and going back to systems of darkness. Is it okay that I'm preaching like this? This is the world we're living in right now. There is a hierarchy behind the scenes that has board meetings, and they probably have their own demonic whiteboard, and they're planning how to continue to rule and reign people in their domain under their king. We know that in Ephesians chapter 6. 1 John 5:19 says, we know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. This power is real. This domain is real. This spiritual realm that we don't see, with those are the people pulling the strings. Not just in government. Not just in politics. But they are doing what they can in the whole aspect of everything in the world. Jesus calls him the prince of this world in John 12:31. We have a kingdom, and who is our Lord in our kingdom? And who is the king in the kingdom of darkness? When the kingdom of darkness feels threatened, that's when persecution starts to increase. When the kingdom of darkness has things in place like communism and socialism, they can control the people to remain in their kingdom. But when a country came along like America that said, we are declaring freedom, it started to shake even the kingdom of darkness. Not just because we were separating from them, but because we also came with the gospel. The founders of our country came with the message of hope. We want to be out of the religious tyranny of Britain. That we want to serve God the way we want to serve God. Now, I'm not saying we've continued down that path. We're getting way, way off track as a country. We're going right back into, and the enemy has been working and planning and scheming for this country to go right back into his kingdom. We don't realize it. We're just all walking around in the matrix. Work, family, fun, recreation, which are all fine. But we get obsessed with those things. And before you know it, we left the kingdom of Jesus and we went right back into the kingdom of darkness. It's that strong. The kingdom of darkness is a spiritual, hierarchical system of ruling that influences and controls family. You see all this attack against the family? The core family structure, gender confusion, and all this stuff, it's coming from the kingdom of darkness. Religion, religion doesn't shake up the kingdom of darkness, because he'll implement systems into religions where they're just going around following systems of darkness and they don't even realize it. It's when someone wakes up and says, am I doing what's biblical? Am I really following Jesus? Am I actually doing what the Word says? Or have I been caught up and don't even realize it? The current, when the current is going and you're caught up in the current, it just sweeps you out. Tracy, remember when Jenna and Kayla, we brought them out to Democrat Point? If anybody knows Democrat Point, it's right where the inlet comes in. You can have a little beach. You can go. People drive their car on there. And my daughters are out there in a little canoe or kayak or something. And we're like, watch. Don't get away. And they're like, oh, let's keep going. But the current, the next thing we were, where's Kayla? where's Jenna? And they're like 300 feet away, about to go into the inlet and cross into the ocean. And all of us, we're running, hopping over things, getting, we're trying to get them, because once they get caught up in there, that's it, they're going. Now it's an emergency situation. Well, the current that flows behind all these things is the kingdom of darkness. That just, you know, we hear it all the time. Don't watch the rip curl. I mean, the what is it called? Riptide? Rip current. Rip curls if I was surfing, right? Riptide. You're not going to realize it. You're just out there bathing. You're out there hanging out in the water, and the riptide's going to get you and just pull you right out. It's what the kingdom of darkness is doing. It's how it's operating. All we want to do is get them caught up back into our systems. Now, these systems impact family, religion, education, media, entertainment. Entertainment now is becoming so, they're so blatantly ungodly. You got to watch even the cartoons, the YouTube channels, even a little lady singing, teaching your kids how to read and speak. All of a sudden, you got kingdom of darkness things being introduced. It affects the money system, the government, and politics. Now, these are normally commonly referred to the seven mountains. But I want to tell you something. This also is tied into what's called kingdom dominion theology. I'm not that. And I'm not speaking about that. There is a kingdom dominion theology that teaches that we have to take over all these things. And when we take over them, it will usher in the return of Jesus. That's not even biblical. I won't even get into that right now. But what we have to do is be aware of them and separate from them. We were never called to overthrow the government, the media, the education, the money systems. Some of us get so fired up, we got more ammunition than a little military. I'm ready, just send them in. I got 400,000 rounds. And that's not what we're called to do. Now, I'm not saying that's good or bad, whatever you want to do. But it's a kingdom of darkness that we are called out of. Who has called you out of darkness? Out of darkness. Where? Into his marvelous light. You don't fight their systems by being like their systems. There is one who will defeat all of these systems at one point, 100% in his fullness. And who is that? Jesus. He will? Aren't we going to just die and go to heaven? That's what the enemy wants you to think. We die and go to heaven, and then we still have this kingdom of darkness going on, and the kingdom of light's up in heaven. We're gonna get into this, because when you get this, you realize that we have been enthralled, caught up in the current, and just going in the stream of these systems, and we try to, how do we change it? Well, you gotta get out of the current. Isn't that the first thing they teach you when, if you ever got caught up in the current? You're not gonna come back the other way. Which way are you supposed to swim? Anybody know? Gotta go this way. When we understand that these systems are operating, controlling, and Satan is the Lord. See, all Satan wants is to fully reign. What Satan wants to do is, I want to be worshipped, and I want to rule and reign. Now, he's ruling and reigning from behind the scenes, controlling all of these, but God will actually give him a time where he's in full control. We know that time as what? What is that period called? Anybody know? The tribulation period. It's the worst 3.5 years the world has ever seen when it comes to tribulation. We could talk about it. I teach about it, but that's not the purpose of today. But this is his goal. I want to control every one of these domains. If you look at your school or your what your kids are learning sometimes, if they're there in public school, and the conversations and the books and what they're learning, it's kingdom of darkness principles, kingdom of darkness mentality being pushed upon our children. I just want you to get this as the understanding. Some of you are like, wait, what do we do about it? I'm going to tell you what you do about it. How do we leave it? How do we escape it? How do we stand in it? What the kingdom is like. So let's go back to Jesus. Jesus used metaphors. He never ever said, this is exactly, it's too big for us to understand the kingdom of God. We can't understand the kingdom of God in its fullness. All he kind of told us was, no eye will see, no ear has heard what God has in store for them who love him. So we're going to get some metaphors. We're going to get some parables. We're going to go to Matthew 13. Let's go to Matthew 13 in our Bibles. I'm just going to read from the Word. Is that okay? Can you guys still see this? Great. Want you to listen to the language that Jesus uses. Even doing getting prepared for this study, there was some revelation to me. Matthew 13, write it down. This is something you want to read. When Jesus gives a parable, he's speaking prophetically. He's dropping truth bombs that you probably don't even catch most of the time. He's speaking to the universe, even in his parables. Chapter 13, verse 1. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. And there he sat and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen up. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. And you're all going to remember this parable because we remember parables. He scattered them across his field. Some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears, when Jesus says this, by the way, he says this phrase a lot. That means you better go a little deeper than what you think you're listening to. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. He even said this when he was asked about the timeline of his return. He even says this in Revelation in the letters to the church. When he says this, there is deep truth about to be revealed. Now, I got to tell you, from my whole life, I just related this to the Word. Right? How many of you just related it to the Word going out? People hearing it. Sometimes it falls on shallow, you know, hard ground. Sometimes the birds come and eat it. The Word. Look what Jesus says. His disciples came and asked him, why do you use parables when you talk to the people? Now listen to this. When you get it, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Everybody say it. Kingdom of heaven. Kingdom is government. But others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Most are living in darkness with blinders on their eyes. The concept of the kingdom doesn't even register. One ear, out the other. This is why I use parables, he says. For they look, but they don't really understand. They don't really see. And they hear, but they really don't listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. You will see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes. So their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand. And they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. Let's go back. I'm giving you the secrets of the kingdom. I have to tell it to you in parables because the world doesn't even have a clue what I'm talking about. Not just the word, but the secrets of the kingdom. Now, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see. But they didn't see it, and they longed to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. Now he goes, now let me explain the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath, listen to this, it's right here, it's been here the whole time. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the, what? Kingdom. And don't understand it. It's not just the word. It's the message of the kingdom. Jesus preached the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. We miss it. Then the evil one, who is the Lord of who? The Lord of the kingdom of darkness. He doesn't want people to understand the kingdom, comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message. It's continuing the message of the kingdom and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. When you hear the message of the kingdom and you get it, the enemy's going to come and try to rob you of it. And he does successfully. If we look at these percentages, at least so far 50% of the time. The seed that fell among the thorns represent those who hear God's word about the kingdom. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life. I had a glimpse of the kingdom, but I got afraid and I went back to the kingdom of darkness. They got overwhelmed by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth. Write that down. Worries and wealth. So no fruit is produced. Then that seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word about the kingdom. It's the same message he's talking here. And produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. He's talking about the gospel of the kingdom. And 75% of the time, if we just use this math, the enemy comes to take it. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, since John the Baptist, everybody knows John the Baptist was preaching about the kingdom. If you read your Bible, you'll see that was his message. A new Lord, a new system that's separate from, and they did not like John. John scared them to the point that they had John's head cut off. But it says, since the time of the kingdom of John the Baptist, since John the Baptist, the king, this verse gets mistranslated many times. The kingdom of God has suffered violence. They're coming violently against the kingdom of God. And violent men are trying to take the kingdom by force. John the Baptist got his head cut off because he was preaching the kingdom purely to the point where he's wearing sackcloths and long hair. And like, I'm not even going to be part of the food system. I'll eat crickets. I'm not saying you got to go that route. You're probably eating crickets already and you don't realize it. But we'll go to a different thing. The kingdom of God suffers violence. And we've translated, and violent take it by force. No, we're not the violent ones. Violent are the systems of darkness that go full rage against the kingdom of God. They want to stop it. Telling all the babies to be eliminated was violent. That was a violent act. What they did with the apostles and the disciples and the Christian church, when they were preaching the kingdom and they started using them as human torches and feeding them to lions, that's violence. Violence is coming. So we preach a good, greasy grace gospel message. We talk about salvation, but we've got to start telling people that when you commit to Jesus, when you truly make Him Lord, you are now in opposition to the kingdom of darkness. It's not going to be easy. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, in this world you will face tribulation, persecution. You're going to be hated for my name. But take heart and be courageous and be bold, for I have overcome the world. He didn't say it's going to be sunshine and rainbows and prosperity and everything is going to be great. No, you're violent. You're going to go against a violent opposition. Last time I preached a message like this, I got to be honest, the pastor never invited me again. I was pretty much kicked out of the church. And they said, my people can't handle it. It was too much. It was too intense. Do you rather have the truth or you want to have something that tickles your ears? You ever put a Q-tip in your ear and it hits that nerve? Ooh, that felt good. This isn't an ear-tickling message, but this is a revolutionary message. Let me keep reading. Here's another story Jesus told. The kingdom of what? Say aloud. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the workers slept, the enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, sir, the field where you planted the good seed is now full of weeds. Where did they come from? Where did they come from? An enemy has done this, the farmer explained. Should we pull out the weeds? They asked, no. If you uproot the weeds, you'll uproot the wheat as well. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles and burn them, and to put the wheat in the barn. That's prophetic if it ever was, because he explains it in just a moment. He goes on to tell another one. Here's another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree and birds come and make nests in its branches. And then Jesus just sends them on a roll. Let me tell you another one. Jesus used also this illustration. Man, I've misquoted this verse my whole life. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of what? We're talking about the kingdom of heaven, which I just explained. It's like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. What do you think that means? He only needs a little bit of the kingdom to go into the kingdom of darkness. And what happens with yeast? What does yeast do? It rises. It expands. It grows. I only need to put a little bit of the kingdom in the kingdom of darkness and it will shake it up. I'm here thinking about metaphors about bread my whole life. And it's about the kingdom. Whew. I'm telling you, this gets me going because I'm like, where has it? I missed this. Jesus always used stories and illustrations like these when speaking to the crowds. In fact, he never spoke to them without using such parables. This fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet. I will speak to you in parables. I will explain hidden things since the creation of the world. He knew the kingdom of darkness was going to form with the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. Then, leaving the crowds outside, Jesus went into the house. His disciples said, "Please explain to us the story of the weeds in the field." Jesus replied, "The Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seed. The field is the world, and the good seed represents the people of what? The kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. The enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels." I mean, he is summing up the end times in a parable. "Just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so will it be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and do evil. And the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom." Here's the statement. "Anyone with ears should listen and understand what I am saying." Pay attention, read it again, meditate on it, and digest it. The kingdom of heaven, this is what we started with, is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In a field, he's walking, he goes, "There's diamonds. There's diamonds in this field." He hides the diamonds, sells everything he owns to get enough money, and he goes and buys the field. The kingdom of heaven is that valuable. The kingdom of heaven is that life-changing. Could somebody say amen? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. This is why my life has just... I've missed it. Didn't even realize I was caught up in the current of the systems of darkness. And I'm going to swim parallel and get out of them. Parable of the fishing net. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net that was thrown into the water and caught fish of every kind. When the net was the kingdom of heaven, you're talking about the same thing here. When the net was full, they dragged it up to the shore, sat down and sorted the good fish into crates, but threw away the bad ones. That is the way it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous, throwing the wicked into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You understand all these things? Yes, they said we do. Then he added, "Every teacher of religious law who then becomes a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a homeowner who brings his storeroom new gems of truth as well as old." I'm just telling you, most of us don't get the kingdom. We've been preaching the kingdom of salvation and think that's all we preach. But it is going to be a takeover. We don't have to do it now. We just have to remain in the system of God, not in the systems of men. We have to understand that the current of darkness is trying to constantly sweep us away. Is someone getting this so far? We're not done. There's still good news. what the kingdom is not. The kingdom is not of this world. Let's go here. Jesus answered in John 18, 36 through 37, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews." You know, they were very confused. Even John the Baptist was like, "I've been preaching your kingdom. I've been talking about the kingdom. I'm in jail. Are you even the one? Are you even the Messiah?" And Jesus had to let that happen because John and even the apostles were thinking that it was going to be Jesus coming in, defeat Rome, and Israel was going to take over everything. He's going to let the kingdoms of darkness do what they do, but at one point he will pull the weeds. He will pull the bad fish, and they will get separated. But it's he who does it. "But my kingdom is not from the world." Those in the world can't recognize. This is nutty talk. They can't recognize this at all. Listen, one day the Pharisees, everybody say Pharisees, asked Jesus, they were trying to like trick him, "When will the kingdom of God come?" In their pretentious, self-righteous tone. Huh? "When will the kingdom of God come?" And Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, 'Here it is,' or 'It's over there.'" Because what they were trying to do was set him up so they could go right to Rome and say, "He's coming and he's starting a revolt against Rome." "For the kingdom of God..." Now, here's the correct translation. If you look at the root word, it says, "For the kingdom of God is already among you." Another translation says, "For the kingdom of God is already in your midst, and you don't even realize it." You've got the King of Light. You've got the King of the kingdom of God standing before you, and you don't even know who you're talking to, is what he said. Sometimes it gets mistranslated as, "You don't understand because the kingdom of God is already in you." How many have heard the kingdom of God is in you? Who's he talking to right here? One day the Pharisees, so we replied to the Pharisees, "Do you think the kingdom of God was in the Pharisees and the ones who crucified him?" He was saying the kingdom of God is in your midst. The kingdom of God is among you. You don't even realize it. So those in the world can't recognize it. And then you had the, here we go, we have the church arguing. "Well, you know, my brother over here, he doesn't eat kosher food. He's eating food that hasn't been blessed by the rabbi. And my other sister over here, you know, she worships on Sunday. We're supposed to worship on Saturday." And they're having all these arguments about religious things that they think they're supposed to do. And Paul says, the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever serves Christ in this way is acceptable to God and receives human approval. So then let us pursue what promotes peace and what builds up one another. He's saying you lost track of the kingdom of God. And how many of us do we know that? "Well, you don't do this, and you don't do that, and your church said this, and it's crazy. Look on YouTube. All we got is a bunch of cannibals eating each other." Let us pursue what promotes peace and what builds up one another. And it's not about talking about the kingdom. You could have a new banner made. The Kingdom Conference. We've got a Kingdom Children's Ministry now. I've been to many churches that talk about kingdom. And we had somebody who was talking about the kingdom, and Paul goes, "You know what? I'm going to go see if they got power." Because anybody could talk and have nice language and good speeches and be a good orator and have the ability to present. But then they got power. That's how I'm going to know what the kingdom of God is. I love posting this verse every April 20th. Anybody knows what April 20th is? The world celebrates smoking marijuana. And I post this every single year. The kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. I don't care that you have a banner that says kingdom. Do you got any power behind that? Are you living like one who's really in the kingdom of light? Can I keep going? I'm going to wrap this up, I promise you. Now get ready for this. The kingdom is a false dichotomy. Some are going, what's a dichotomy? You've heard of a dichotomy, but this is a false dichotomy. What a dichotomy is a division into especially mutually exclusive or contradictory groups or entities. Satan and Jesus, they are a dichotomy. Darkness and light, they are a dichotomy. They are at complete opposites. So, when we hear the kingdom, it's a false dichotomy. Follow me. This is a revelation. It says something with seemingly contradictory qualities. It's not a dichotomy where it's opposed to each other. It's a false dichotomy. Meaning they're really not opposed. What do I mean by that? Because we have things like this. The kingdom is coming, yet it is here. The kingdom is here, yet it is coming. That seems like it's a dichotomy, right? No, it's a false dichotomy. It's both. The kingdom is already here, but it has not come in its complete fullness. The decisive battle has already been won, but the final victory is not yet completed. What? Huh? It's a false dichotomy. It's yes and yes. Has anybody ever heard the saying, oh, so you want your cake and you want to eat it too? Duh, that's the purpose of cake. I want to eat it. Well, this is the false dichotomy. The kingdom is here, but it's also coming. We have full access to walk in the kingdom now and in the kingdom to come. The kingdom has already invaded this present evil age. Say yes. And the king will one day also rule the entire earth. Yes. Eternal life is not the kingdom. We got to get this. It's going to rock your religious shoes right off your feet. It's all about eternal life. Eternal life is not the kingdom. It is the beginning of the rewards for those who are part of the kingdom. And how we participate in the everlasting kingdom as the family of God. You're going to get this. I could live in the kingdom now, and I'm going to live in the kingdom then. I could operate under the authority and the lordship of Jesus now, and I'm going to operate under the authority and lordship of Jesus then. Heaven is not the kingdom. Yet our reward is in heaven. What does that mean? We're going to have a fun time if you want to continue learning with me as you understand the resurrection, which is critical to Christian faith. Even famous authors and people I follow still don't understand the resurrection. Yet in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we will be a fully manifestly made new creation. It's coming, yet we already have access to the principles of it now. It's a false dichotomy. Is this too deep? Or am I making sense with you guys? The biggest thing I want you to understand so far is there is a kingdom of darkness. Let me switch this. The kingdom of darkness is over here on the left. No reason for that. The kingdom of light is over here on the right. We gotta leave the kingdom of darkness with the full understanding of the kingdom of light now. but our reward, our new body, where we will be fully manifest as the sons of God, is still coming. That gets deep. I'll save that for another day. By the way, if you want to join us, we're gathering on Zoom on Monday nights. Everybody is welcome. And all we're talking about is the kingdom of God. Reach out to me, get in touch with somebody, and I'll get you the link. All we're focusing on, because I believe for the end time church to preach the gospel of the kingdom, you got to get it. And it's not about just an implant in your brain. Oh, I got this knowledge about the king. No, it's when you get it, you go, well, I've been missing it. What keeps us from the kingdom? The lust of the eyes. The lust of the flesh. The pride of life. The love of money, aka greed. An allegiance to something higher than Jesus. And for a lot of us, our allegiance is to something higher than Jesus. A lot of us, majority of us, myself included. I told my wife the other day, I said, I can't stand this anymore. I got to get off Facebook because the enemy has literally got some kind of thing wiring in my brain. Every 2 minutes I'm on this thing. I log out. I change my password. And I don't know how my brain does it. I get back in 2 minutes. Change my password because this has become higher in certain areas than Jesus. I'm done with it. Write down 1 Corinthians 6:9 and Galatians 5, chapter 19 to 21. If you want to see the people who will not inherit the kingdom, read those verses. It's people who practice certain lifestyles and sins, and it's not just what you think as the obvious. It's a lot of them. Jesus tells us in 1 John, do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world only offers a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see and pride in our achievements and possessions. Kingdom of darkness mentality. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever in the kingdom with Jesus as Lord. 1 John 2:15-17. Now, to have a kingdom, you need a king. So let's focus on this today as we finish up. Jesus as Lord means he's the center of the kingdom. He's the nucleus, the center, the core, the foundation, the outer, the inner, the upper, the lower part. He is everything. He is the Lord of the kingdom of God. He is the master of the kingdom, the master of the universe. God exalted Jesus to be the King of Kings, not just a song we sing or a phrase we say, but to be the Lord of all. The King's domain, Satan is the Lord of the world because God has given them that control right now. But Lord, Jesus is the Lord of everything and the kingdom to come. I won't talk about this today too much. At the second coming of Jesus, see, most people don't even know what the millennial reign is. I talk about it a lot, but most pastors, most churches never mention the millennial reign. They don't understand it, but it's when Jesus, literally, he has destroyed all his enemies. Satan is bound in hell for 1,000 years, and Jesus now comes in as King Jesus on this earth, ruling and reigning with his bride on this earth. That's before eternity even begins. When he comes in, it says the earth groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. How many of you ever heard that? The earth is groaning. When will the sons of God be manifest? You know when we will? Anybody have a guess? I said, yes, Lord, we will ride. When we ride with Him, right behind Him, following Him on that white horse, is when the earth will finally see the manifest sons of God coming in their fullness. Jesus will usher in the fullness of the government of God, the fullness of the family of God, and the fullness of God dwelling with us. And that's for 1,000 years on earth before the eternity begins. What a prequel. But it's called the restoration of all things. This final piece here is the King's people. We have really lost that we are part of the kingdom. We are this word called the ecclesia. The ecclesia of Jesus. We are the expression of Jesus on this earth. It is us. How many of you here? The ecclesia is the called out ones. Anybody heard that? We are the called out ones who gather together. There's a gathering. What we are doing right now is being the ecclesia. But it's also about fellowship. It's also about communion. It's also about when we went and greeted each other and prayed for each other and listened to each other and got to know each other and became the family. And God's shaking up a lot of things in churches right now because it becomes a system of man. We'll talk about that another time. The kingdom is a mystery. It says in the Bible in Revelation, when that final trumpet blows, the seventh trumpet blows, it says, finally, the mystery has been revealed. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of Christ. It's a mystery. People, you're going to either get this today or you're not. And when you realize I'm done participating in the mentality and the stronghold and the chains of the kingdom of darkness, and there's been things in my life that I have allowed to rule me and reign me, I'm going to renounce them, and I'm full in for Jesus, it changes you. This is the everlasting purpose of God. It's always has been and always will be. In Genesis, He said, I want a family. I want to be their God, and they call me Father, and I call them children. And we go through all of the Bible. He's allowing all these kingdoms of darkness just to keep proceeding till He gets to the point of the New Jerusalem. And what does it say in Revelation? Finally, I will be their God, and they will be my people, and they will call me Father, and I will call them children. God wants a family. And yet we can't even do family right here on earth as the people of the kingdom. Woo. Here's the question. I know I'm up here. Ron screaming in the mic again. But this has revolutionized my life. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Is Jesus the Lord of all your life? Every part of your life? I remember being on my honeymoon at 19 years old. Oh, I couldn't wait to start a business. I talked about it. I obsessed about it. I had ideas. I had plans, business names. She does remind me of this to this day. But I was obsessed. Whether it's business, some people are obsessed with sports. They talk about it. They think about it. Any conversation you have, oh, yeah, did you see the match? Did you see the Yankees, the Giants? All across the country, people are worshiping the gladiators. Some people, it's money. Some people, it's sports. Some people, they haven't gone to church in 5 years because of their kids' sports every Sunday, and they go and worship at the throne of, I hope my kid can get a scholarship. Oh, I'm stepping on some toes on that one. For some, it's their career. For some, it's pursuing education. I don't know. For some, it's the stupid thing in our hands. Whether it's social media or TV. Back in the day, you used to say soap operas. I don't think anybody watches soap operas anymore. What do you talk about? What do you think about? Write down this word real quick. Mate. M-A-T-E. Checkmate. What is your money spent on? What is your mind focusing on? Where is your attention? Where do you spend your time? And what takes your energy? And I had to admit, I said, there's so many things in my life that have, when I've done this, I said that were higher priority than Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. But I had some idols. I love Jesus, but there was systems of darkness that I was okay being part of, whether it's money, career, business, sports. It could be anything. For Jesus to be Lord, he has to become an obsession. And we have to say to ourselves, am I obsessed with Jesus? I'm obsessed with him. You're nuts. I don't care. I'd rather be crazy for Christ than dead for the devil. Are you devoted to Jesus? I remember when I played soccer for 12 years. I finally got to a Division I soccer team. And that was it. I'm going. And at the same time, I was made a praise and worship leader for a church, Evangel Church of God in Lindenhurst. And I had to make a decision. Guess what, Ron? All our games are on Sunday. I'm sorry, but I can't play soccer anymore. Played my whole life. But I love you, Jesus. And if it means going in that way and I have to give up everything that I finally thought I achieved, Lord, you're going to be my Lord. It means obedience to Jesus. We got a world right now that doesn't want to obey him. Well, that's not wrong anymore. You don't understand. Things have changed. Living with people that aren't your spouse. Boyfriends and girlfriends that aren't your spouse. Oh, that doesn't matter. No, it matters because you're not obsessed with Jesus. Because if you were, you would obey him, it says. And is your allegiance to Jesus? Some people are getting convicted right now. And some people are saying, I want to be all in for Jesus. Yes, there's things in my life that I have set up and I don't even realize it. For some people, it's music. I'm sure you know people, Chuck. They think about music, talk about music, and all they think was obsessed with music. But out of the heart, the mouth speaks. I lived in Georgia for 12 years around neighbors. Come to find out when they left, every one of them said they were Christians. How many conversations did we ever have about Christ? Zero. But we talked about Georgia Bulldogs. We talked about the Atlanta Braves. We talked about this. We talked about beer. But we didn't talk about Jesus. When you get the kingdom, you're going to say, I'm going to be all in. Jesus is my Lord. I renounce all the systems of darkness, and Jesus is my Lord. That means giving up some things I've tried to do, giving up my ambitions, giving up my drive to do things for myself, but it's all about you and your kingdom, Lord. This is going to be my message to my dying day. I said this to a small group of people. If anybody says, when I die, that I talked about, spoke about, or thought about anything other than an obsession with Jesus Christ, then I failed. When you get the kingdom inside of you, you're ready to revolt. You're ready to go against the kingdom of darkness. You're ready to say, bring it on, because I know God is for me. And if he's for me, who could be against me? It means giving up the love of money. Whew, that's a big one. Jesus is Lord of everything. Not the little areas you want to keep. Not the little areas you don't want to talk about. Jesus is Lord of everything. Come on, stand to your feet. If this message has convicted you, and if this message is stirring up something inside of you, I'm not asking you to accept Jesus as Savior. I'm saying accept Him as Lord. We go Savior first, and they'll figure out the Lord afterwards. You know what? I see brothers, Andre, I see people, Brandon, who have accepted Christ, and then where are they in their faith? I'm telling you, you might lose everything. I'm telling you the kingdom of darkness is going to come against you. I'm telling you you're going to give up some of the things you've been trying to accomplish. But is Jesus going to be your Lord? Yes or no? I got a song I'm going to play, Brother Chuck, in just a second. But John said this, the one who lost his life. He must become greater and greater. And I must become less and less. He has come from above and is greater than anyone else. I said this to my friend the other day. Get me a t-shirt. That's my new t-shirt. Jesus is greater than anyone else. Would anybody else like to declare that right now? Jesus is greater than anyone else. Jesus is greater than anyone else. Jesus is greater than anyone else. Oh, we are of the earth and we speak of earthly things, but He has come from heaven and is greater than anyone else. We don't have to do theatrics. We don't have to do dramatics. You know in your heart, I'm ready to commit to the kingdom. If we were in school, we'd be pledging allegiance to a flag, but I'm asking you, will you pledge allegiance to Jesus? Listen to this song, then we're done. Just close your eyes and listen to these words, because I'm going to about to worship my Jesus, and I don't care what you think.
Jesus, bright as the morning star, Jesus, how can I tell you how beautiful you are to me? Jesus, song that the angels sing, Jesus, dear.
Let's worship Him. Let's love on Him. Hallelujah.
Everybody sing Jesus.
Jesus.
Bright as the morning star.
Bright as the morning star.
Jesus.
Jesus.
How can I tell you how beautiful?
Dearer to my heart than anything.
Jesus. Come on, he's Jesus. Lord, forgive me for making things more important than you. Forgive me for having idols that I denied were idols. Come on, now's the time. You've been playing around with it. Some of you just wanted an escape from hell, but he's saying, will you make me Lord? Come on, raise it back up.
Worship him. Oh man, the Lord is good. I never heard that song ever till this morning. The Lord just said, I don't even know how I found that song. And I'm like, man, that's the icing on the cake for this message. Jesus is greater than anyone. I hope this message has woken you up. I hope it's got you to the point like, yeah, I want to leave the matrix. I'm ready. It might be scary. It might be different. It might be shaking. It might be looking like something I've never seen. But I'm telling you, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Let's just all say amen. I know I went long, but we're still going to have the cafe, and we're still going to meet over next door and have some bagels and coffee and stuff. And I thank you guys. I appreciate you for letting me rant and rave like you always do. But this message, I've seen demons come out of people like it would scare you. I've seen miracles and supernatural things, but nothing has gotten me more excited in my faith walk than recommitting my life to Jesus as Lord. And I hope it's done the same. Have a great day. Bless you guys. Love you guys.